Welcome to the Conversationalist Corner. I'm your host, Jacob White, and this is my co-host, Paul Larson. On this podcast, we take people out of the boxes that they're often put in by those that they meet, and then we let them take us back through their lives so that we can discover who they really are. We hope you not only learn about the interesting people that we interview here in the show, but that you also learn how to discover how interesting everyone is around. Welcome to the Conversationalist Corner. Today, our guest is Jane Jepson. Jane is 21 years old, and she's the third of four children. She's from Centerville, Utah, and currently studying at BYU. Some of her talents is she loves to try new things, and she also plays the harp wonderfully. Some of her hobbies are learning Chinese, and she loves reading. She loves doing everything. I've never seen Jane say no to doing something. So without further ado, why don't we welcome Jane onto the podcast?
Woohoo! Welcome, Jane!
Thank you. It's good to be here.
For everyone listening, Jane is one of our really good friends. We really enjoy hanging out with her and talking to her. But we're not quite sure if she feels the same way. Jane, my first question is, would you like to share with everyone how you responded whenever we asked you to be on the podcast?
Usually it's just... Are you really that desperate? You don't have anyone else you can ask? But no, I'm happy to be here.
She called us desperate, man. We are like the top of the line podcast. We can get whoever we want, and we want Jane to be here.
That's true, we do.
What an honor.
We want her to be here, and this should be a good time, and we're really excited to have you on to learn more about your story, about who you are, what makes you one of the kindest people we've ever met.
Wow, thank you.
So everyone who's listening,
ditto.
You are in for a treat. But one of the questions that we really have enjoyed asking some of our friends here on the podcast is just kind of about the beginning of their life when they were babies, whenever they were children. And that question that we kind of wanted to ask you too is, when did life start for you? Like, is there any moment where you feel like you just remember being alive for the first time?
I'm like September 16th, 2003, actually.
A year after I was born.
No.
I am exactly 1 year older than Jane.
That's right, birthday buddies. It's good. A day that I felt like life began. That's such a good question. I don't really know how to answer it, honestly. But I do like thinking about that. It's kind of like the Inside Out thing where they're like, what's the core memories, right? I think...
Yeah, it doesn't have to be your first memory or anything, but maybe what's one of those core memories.
Right. I like that a lot. I think one that I remember, at least that's coming to mind right now. I remember very like vividly, I was probably like 4 or 5, but I remember like at Christmas time, my grandpa like picking me up, and he's like 6'4". He was like an aerospace engineer, like very intellectual man. And anyway, he would like pick us up and then just give us the biggest, wettest kisses on the cheek. You know, the one where you like walk away and you're like, oh, thank you so much, grandpa, I love you too. So I guess that's one, just knowing that he like really loved me, because it wasn't like he was a very emotional person, but I just definitely knew that he loved me a lot. And it's just a sweet memory, especially like this time of year. I actually haven't thought about that in a while.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I really liked it. And kind of talking about this time of year and that, do you have any favorite Christmas memories besides, of course, the big wet one on the cheek?
I mean, that's a highlight for sure.
Did you get to spend a lot of time with family during Christmas time? What's Christmas like been throughout your life?
Yeah, for sure. I think Christmas definitely is a huge family event for everyone, and especially in my family. But favorite memories, honestly, with that side, we didn't see them a ton. Like, this is my mom's side, sorry. So, like, my mom's dad was the grandpa who'd give me a big slobbery kiss that I loved, obviously. No, but we would do, like, a Christmas Eve party with them every year, which was really fun because we didn't see them a ton. And we'd do a scavenger hunt. It was, like, the best part of Christmas, where my grandpa would put little, like, notes around the house, and you'd have, like, a teammate that you'd find out that day, and then you'd, like... Well, the thing is, I'm like the youngest on that side, or one of the youngest, so we'd like basically be running around the house with a bunch of adults and just like tripping over each other, and it was a lot of fun. And that was a good memory. I think along those lines, my dad would also, he was very fun. He's just a great person and made the holidays really fun. One thing we'd do, we'd have like, we had a four-wheeler growing up, and we'd put, if it snowed a lot, we'd like connect a rope to the back of the four-wheeler and then do sleds and then like ride around church parking lots in our yard, and it was really fun. Usually ended up like crying or laughing, so.
One or the others.
Yeah, you know, one of those experiences.
No middle ground.
No, obviously not. So, I don't know, that's just like fun, you know, joyous time with family, and it was, yeah, those are some of my favorite memories, so.
Nice. It sounds like, I guess just from those couple stories that you shared, that family was a big part of your life.
Definitely.
Growing up and just in your environment. So how do you think like your family specifically had an effect on you in the way you grew up and kind of in your upbringing,
yeah,
extended and immediate family?
Yeah, no, I love that question. I think for me, my family is like everything. Like you said, I'm the third of four, so I have two older brothers, and they are just like, I don't know, I feel like I won the like family lottery for real. But my brothers were, you know, super loving. They'd do anything for me. And I mean, like, we weren't perfect. Like, we didn't always get along, but we had a lot of good times. And then along those lines, like, my parents were just the best. Kind of the same. Just really, really good examples of, you know, Christ-like love and having high expectations for us, but, like, loving us no matter what we did and supporting us through it all. So, yeah.
Is there any particular experience that comes to mind whenever they loved you more than it might have been easy to do so?
Loved me even when it would have been hard? Oh,
yeah.
For sure. I mean, I as like a kid, I like perpetually, we call it a frinkle, right?
A what?
A frown wrinkle. It's when you like frown and you have those like wrinkles in your eyes. I was just always doing that. Like, I was not a happy kid. Basically.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I know. Funny, huh? But my mom said it was like the kind of thing where we'd be at the grocery store and I'd be sitting there in the little like seat thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then like, you know, the cute little moms would be like, oh, she's so cute. And I'd just wrinkle at them. And my mom thinks it has to do with the fact that I just didn't like having like attention and didn't like, you know, that. So that's kind of where that came from. But anyway, so I just bring that up because I think my parents loved me even though I maybe wasn't super pleasant all the time. And they were patient with my having to learn those skills. Like, my mom literally, I remember so distinctly, we were walking into the grocery store one day and I wrinkled at this girl who was walking out. And my mom's like, you know you can like smile at her. And it like hadn't occurred to me. So I was like, okay, I will now. You know what I mean?
Really?
So I think they loved me even though I, you know, maybe wasn't the most pleasant, I guess. I don't know.
I'm trying to like imagine Jane just like sitting in one of those carts, like, just glaring at everyone that passes by.
Yeah, no, we have like a picture of it. I'll have to show it to you sometime. It's pretty good.
I'll have to. What's it called again?
The frinkle. Just think frown wrinkle.
Frinkle.
It's a frinkle.
Frinkle. Oh. Yep.
I'm a big frinkler.
I catch myself doing it still. You know, when I'm like focused or angry.
Do not sneak up on Jane while she is studying. She will give you a frinkle.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your other siblings had that same kind of complex, or were you just like...
No. Well, I mean, maybe a little bit, but I definitely think I frinkled the most. I don't know.
Is it your signature move?
Yes.
That's kind
you
of
did it enough and it got a name.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kind of surprised that you don't have like a permanent like...
Yeah,
like crease.
Me
right
too,
there.
Actually.
That'd be kind of epic.
The skin was young enough. It didn't take info.
Bounced back, you know.
Yeah,
that's fun. Well, that's really cool that, you know, your mom was just able to like. She probably was just like, bro, like you can smile, like you have like a happy face, use it.
Yes, it's true. She's a good nurturer in that way for sure.
I think that's super cool. Are there any? I think that one thing that has been really cool. For me to think back about are kind of those life lessons that parents kind of share with their kids. Some of my good friends are expecting a baby soon, and I was talking to them about being a parent, right? Because I mean, it'll be their first child. Uh-huh. And I had just this cool conversation with them about, like, what is something that, like, a life lesson that they learned from their parents that they hope to pass on to one of their children. And I think that, obviously, no wrinkles, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
But are there any other, just while we're still on this topic of your childhood and spending time with your family, mm-hmm. What would you say is maybe another one of those life lessons that you would like to pass on to your kiddos,
yeah,
down in the future?
I really like that question. And I had, like, something come, like, immediately to mind. So that was a very inspired question. Good
what
job.
What can I say?
My mom, I remember very distinctly, at least the first time we had this conversation that I remember, we were, like, in the car. I don't remember the context, but basically she was just like, Jane, like, the soonest you can learn how to love people like Jesus Christ loves, it will change your life and your life will never be the same. And I understood that, but I didn't know how to really, like, apply it.
Yeah,
you know. And I feel like, obviously, like, developing charity, like Christ-like love, is a lifelong endeavor, but I do think just, like, having that ingrained in my life was something that I, at that stage, was so critical. Because I think I was probably, like, you know, in junior high, maybe late elementary school. And it was kind of like a daunting task. Like, how do I love people perfectly or like Christ would, much less? But I think just kind of having that in my mind growing up. And then after high school, I went right on a mission. Just, like, having that was really helpful. And I have seen in my life how really being intentional about trying to love people no matter what, it has changed my life. And I feel like, I mean, for me, at least on my mission, that was the time that I really refined that skill, or that, I don't know, that choice to love no matter what. And I have totally seen the benefit of it in my life. So
yeah. Wow. That's a great kind of profound thing to be taught at mm-hmm. such a young age. So you had, when your mom had told you that, you kind of learned it conceptually.
Mm-hmm.
But what experiences have you had that really helped you learn that in practice about how to really truly love someone, especially when it's hard to love someone?
Yeah.
What are some experiences that you had from?
Or even whenever it's like your friend, sometimes it could be hard to intentionally love them, right? Because you can even take them for granted.
Yeah. Right.
But are there any, like, I like what that question, Jacob, of just, are there any, like, specific actions that you feel like either taught you that on a practice-based level, or, you know, just helped you develop that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, it's something that I'm still practicing. It's not like I'm perfect at it now, but I do think on my mission, I learned about how important it is to pray for it, like pray for charity every day. And I know, like, at least when I was on my mission, when I was really intentional about doing that all the time, it made, like, a huge difference versus when I'd, like, forget to pray about it. Because I think having, like, God's help as we're living and trying to be better, it makes such a big difference. And then I think just also, like, learning from examples of people that are really good at it too, I think is something that is really beneficial. Just, like, seeing how they do it.
Is there anyone that comes to mind as maybe an example for you?
I'm like, you guys, you're great at it. No. I mean, obviously my mom, she's great at it, and my dad, and my great aunt, Barbara. She was really, really good at it. She is kind of like who I want to be besides my mom. She had, like, a hard life. Like, my great-grandma was a single mom for a long time.
Oh, dang.
And so she had to kind of, like, raise my grandma and her sister. And my sister kind of became, like, my grandma's mom in a way, because she just had to take care of my grandma quite a bit. But my mom always talks about how she kind of just had, like, really special gifts of, like, really just seeing people really deeply and loving them. And, like, when we'd go and visit, she was like, I don't know, you know how some people growing up, you're like, they just were always old. Like, she's just always old. But
she also hasn't aged for, like, the entire time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
She just stayed the same age the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'd go and she, you know, she's like in her 80s and she'd be like, have you read this book by Shannon Hale? Or have you done the, and it was like, how do you know about this? Like, that's so cool. But like, she just really invested in me and cared about me and was so grateful that we'd even come and visit her, you know, or anyway, just like examples, I think, are another way that has helped me to learn how to love better. So.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I hope that I can be like Barbara one day.
Yeah.
Like, she's awesome.
Hopefully, well, I'm young right now, so hopefully I can stay young. But if that's what it takes to be a loving individual for the rest of my life, I can be old.
True.
Sacrifice
my youth, my longevity to be a loving person.
Nice.
Yeah. So I guess just with all that, with the emphasis on seeing good examples around you, seeing people who are really good at loving in a Christ-like way, how has that affected you, the way you kind of approach your relationship with your friends, with people you meet? How has that affected the way you kind of just interact with people on like a very day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, because I don't know, I think at least in college, with like the stress of it all, it's easy to just kind of be caught up in like my own world, and when things get hard for me or when like I'm stressed or whatever, and then I feel like sometimes I'm not as good at like being intentional to like be patient with people or try and see things from their point of view. So I think just being intentional about that and trying to slow down and see things from people's perspectives, and just always, you know, give people the benefit of the doubt. I'm just saying all the cliche things, I think, but just, I think that it works and it makes a big difference, so.
I think that's interesting. I actually have never thought about the idea of like giving someone the benefit of the doubt as like a loving action. I've never just like connected it, but that really makes sense, right? Like, we don't know exactly what's going on in other people's lives. For everyone listening, it is smack dab in the middle of finals week right now. So people are very stressed out. Jane is super nice to come help these desperate podcast hosts out.
Super desperate.
with their podcast stuff right now. But yeah, like, you never know what people are going on. You also never know maybe what their intentions are, mm-hmm. whenever they speak or whenever they do something. And so I definitely do think that is a very small thing that we can do to just express more love. And I think that can be super powerful, especially, you know, our focus here on the podcast is getting to know people, right? Mm-hmm. But if we give people the benefit of the doubt, then we don't kind of like form false assumptions of them.
Yeah.
Or we like, you know, we don't cut them off too early, because the odds are they're probably a wonderful person that just has a lot going on. And so hopefully everyone listening can take some notes on that, of just giving people the benefit of the doubt. But that's super cool. And yeah, one thing that I'd just kind of like to maybe complete the circle. I don't know. We started off talking about your family, talked about love. And I'd just like to kind of return back to your family, because I think that's something that's super important to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, you know, how have you maintained your relationship and developed your relationship with your family just since you were a child? And because, you know, when you're a child, you're just kind of like learning from them. You're just like a projection of your parents. I don't know.
Yeah.
But whenever you're older, you start to do your own life, you leave the house. Mm-hmm. And so I would just love to know personally, like, what have you done to just be a part of your family's life continually and continue growing with them?
Yeah, that's something that I'm still trying to figure out how to do better, because, like I said, I have two older brothers and they're married and have kids, and then my sister's a senior in high school, so she's busy. And it's hard, like, we all kind of have our own different lives and different things going on, for sure. But I do think, at least I'm lucky because my brothers try really hard to stay invested in my life and like check in on me or send me pictures of their cute little boys or whatever.
That's the best.
So I feel like they kind of exert a lot of energy on their end, which I'm really grateful for. But I think just trying to connect with them when I can, when I'm home or when I just have a thought to send them something funny or something serious or just things like that. Like today I was walking home from the gym and it was like, I've got time, call my mom, you know? Just investing in them is really helpful. And I think that helps maintain relationships for sure.
Yeah, I think that's so powerful because at this like stage and age of our life, we're so invested in ourselves. We need to do well in classes. We need to do well in whatever we're trying to do at this stage of life, especially as young 20-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we forget to form or I think have such an even more lasting relationship, which is like relationships with other people.
Mm-hmm.
We're so caught up with trying to do what we can do so we can make ourselves more marketable or more like a shiny toy, I guess. I don't know. Like, so people want us after we graduate from college, but when it's all said and done, what remains is our family, right?
Mm-hmm.
What remains is the relationships we've made. Of course, it's important to gain an education to become smarter, but I think that's so powerful in what you just shared, that your relationships and spending time bonding with, especially with your family, is something that is often, I think, overlooked a little bit. And it's so cool to, excuse me, just to hear that, like, that's something you prioritize, and I'm sure it reflects perfectly, and even in relationships you have with other people.
Yeah, and I like what Jacob kind of talked about there is today's day and age, especially the position of life we're in, we're often thinking about the future. But usually in almost like a materialistic way of like careers, money, whatever it might be, you know, we're always like concerned and stressed out about the future. But I want to know, Jane, what do you hope for the future? You know, maybe not, obviously we hope you find a major.
Me too.
You know, everyone hope and pray for that.
Yeah, for real.
Hopefully that's what Santa brings. but just kind of like besides that basic, like, yeah, I want to have a job. I want to have a house.
Mm-hmm.
What do you just kind of hope for? What do you hope that your future looks like or feels like even? You know, just kind of based off of the things that we've talked about and as you think about who you are.
Yeah, for sure. I like that. These are big questions. Wow. I think, obviously, I want to, you know, maintain these relationships that I've talked about with, like, family and a future family. And I really hope that I can maintain an eternal perspective, kind of like that I can think celestial forever. Because I think, like we've talked about, it's so easy in life to get caught up in small things that really just don't matter. So I hope that in the future I'll be able to really focus on what does matter the most, which, I mean, is people and serving people and being in a place where I can do that, and that, you know, even when it might be inconvenient, that it'll still be a priority that I have. And that, you know, I don't forget my identity as a child of God or child of the covenant, except of Christ, right? That I can, you know, hold on to those things, and that is, you know, what I identify myself as.
That's really cool. And just a kind of short follow-up question, if that's something that you want to become in the future and it's kind of your goal, what are some steps you see yourself taking right now that you're currently doing to become that someday?
Yeah. Action items.
Whoa, love it. That's so good. Yeah, I think there's like the little things that we always say, always, just like being consistent about things that keep me close to God. I think one thing that I want to get better at is being intentional about my like temple attendance. I think like I try and go often, but I think I'm not as good at being in the temple when I'm in the temple. You know what I mean? And I think that that is something that I think will really help kind of in this endeavor. And then just maintaining priorities of service and not rationalizing it when things get too hectic. I don't know.
Some of our listeners might not be familiar with what a temple is. And would you be willing to just give a quick little rundown of what a temple is and why you want it to be a special experience?
For sure. Yeah. So a temple is like a special place in my church, in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where we get to go and perform special ceremonies for ourselves and for people that have died, like our family members, so that we can come closer to God and be with our families forever and eventually return to live with God. And it's a really cool opportunity because when we're there, we get to learn a lot about like God's plan and about Him and get a kind of, I don't know, we talk about how it's kind of like His house on earth, the Lord's house. And so it's like we get to be in His house, which is really cool. But yeah, when I go, I am sometimes, like we've talked about, distracted with school or life or things going on. So I'm hoping that I can be better at like focusing and being intentional about really thinking about what I'm doing. So yeah.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing that. The temple is a very special place. We all three of us have the opportunity to go there, and you know, it's something that is specific to our church and our religion, but it is something that there's things there in spending time with God in whatever form He might appear in our life, and that is just super duper powerful. And we just want to thank you so much, James, for sharing that and for everything that you've shared today. And we would love to just ask you, based off of our story, you know, we started off and we kind of gave a very general description of who you are, you know, a harp player, student, you know, the third of four children, stuff like that. But those, you know, if everyone listening hasn't noticed, those are not everything about you, Jane. And so we would love it if you could just share who you are to yourself, if that makes sense. Like, who do you feel like you are, and what is the essence of Jane?
Yeah, I love that. I think, kind of, like I've brought up quite a few times, my faith is like, I think I know what defines me, right? Being like a child of God. That is like my biggest identity and what I hope is my focus in life. But kind of as you were like telling me the things I like to do, I think just like a learner is the second, just like always trying to learn, or a person who's trying to learn how to, you know, better myself and be a better person so I can help other people more. And I'm making myself sound like I'm really great because I'm not.
No, this is your time, Jane. No. This is your time to show off. Show everyone your stuff.
No. Like, I'm not. I'm definitely not perfect at any of this.
She's also
by
humble.
By any means, no. Like,
super humble.
And like, way too humble. She's blushing.
Yeah, you're right. I am. Well, no. But I think just, like, trying to always learn how to be better. And just to, like, rely on Jesus Christ in that process, because I definitely cannot do it by myself. But relying on Him and people that I'm so lucky to be surrounded by, I think, is what defines me. I'm just like super grateful and blessed for my life and what I feel like defines me. So
I like that word, grateful. It feels, Jane, like you are very grateful for your experiences that you've had. It sounds like you're grateful for the life that you have now, and it sounds like you're grateful for the many blessings, miracles, and potential that is yet to come. But our last question that we also like to ask people, Jane, is if someone wanted to get that to know that side of you, what question can or should they ask you if they really want to just kind of like meet you and not the projection of, you know, what the world sees on the surface?
Yeah. I mean, besides like what makes you you, maybe like what is the most important thing to you?
I like that. What is the most important thing? I think that will really, I think a lot of things we talked about today would have come out if that was the first question asked in the conversation. So now we would just like to show our appreciation.
Now we can wrap things up.
And gratitude. Thank you, Jane, for coming on the podcast amidst the hectic week that is finals, and sharing a bit of your time and your wisdom with Paul and I and with the rest of the listeners. And yeah, we just like to show appreciation and just wish a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays to all those out there who are listening, and hope that you enjoyed this podcast, and hope that you can ask that question to other people this holidays, as you'll be seeing family or meeting new people. And like Jane said, just have an attitude of service and gratitude for what you do have. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you soon.